Good evening. It is September 19th, 2023. Welcome to the Democrats Abroad China membership meeting. We're so excited you could join us today. Today is not only Voter Registration Day, but it is also part of Hispanic Heritage Month. We started on the 15th. So, voto hoy es agora mañana. Welcome, everyone. And we'll go right to the agenda. So today we're going to do some attendance, board reports, GOTV and training information, event planning for September and October. If there's any motions of new business, then we'll break before 8:30 p.m. voter assistance to training. And Terry can switch over the slide. Thank you. All right, and then we'll switch over the slide to attendance. And Josh, if you're ready, let us know. If you need help with notes today, also let us know that. If you were on the road this week. And Josh, just let us know when you're okay. I think he's moving around. So I'm gonna start taking notes, and if anybody wants to back us up, that would be great. Right, Terry, you can go on ahead. So we do use Robert's Rules of Order for every one of our DA China meetings. If you would like to speak during the call, write star star hand up in the chat box. And please refrain from using the reaction emojis because they do voice for those who are visually impaired and using a screen reader. If I do miss anything in the chat box, if one of you could let me know, that would be great. But again, and I'll just put an example, star star hand up in the chat, and then we will form a queue for talking it out, working out whatever motions or new business or what may happen. You may have. All right, Terry, next slide. Happy Hispanic Heritage Month, everyone. During this month, we're going to showcase all kinds of bills from the Hispanic caucus that address Hispanic issues. So we're going to take a look at H.R. 330, sorry, 3194, which is the U.S. Citizenship Act and sponsored by Representative Sanchez. This bill focuses on the immigration system, keeping families together. And you can read it at lyndasanchez.house.gov/US-citizen-impact. If you would like to help the Hispanic caucus out, they would absolutely adore that. And I'm going to put a few links in the chat box now so you can get involved. They are working on very hard and diligently on translating all of our communications into Spanish. So if you know someone who'd like to help out with this, please share a message or two, or even go ahead and scan that QR code to learn more about bills and legislation and what you can do to help. All right, go ahead, Terry. And as you know, DA China, we are all over the world. We are not maybe able to put up a giant sign and banner like this where we live, but we can broadcast over social media. And again, if you have those skills in other languages, we'd like to hear from you. Next slide, please. And if you want to, go ahead and scan our website for more news and events from DA China. If there is something that is of interest to you that you would like to write as a news piece, or if you'd like to be featured in our member spotlight of the month, we would love to hear from you. You can reach out to me in the chat today, or next slide, you can WeChat me. Scan the QR code to add me on WeChat, and then we will get you plugged into our DA China group chats. Right now, our regular Democrats Abroad account is down. Post-pandemic things we are hoping to sort out soon. But for now, go ahead and add me straight, and we'll get you where you need to be. Thanks, Terry. All right, we had a busy month between August and September. I think this is a mostly exhaustive list of all the things that we've been up to. Wisconsin team meetings. We had a state volunteer fair that was very exciting. Thanks to all who attended. We had a couple of meetings with volunteers interested to fill our vacancy on the board. That's our volunteer coordinator position. On Sunday, we had volunteer assistance one, and we're constantly working on our newsletters, photo collections, and comms. If you'd like to help out, we'd really love to hear from you. One of the biggest things that four of us who are DPCA representatives did, myself, Josh, Terry, and Trisha, was attend the September 9th Extraordinary DPCA meeting. DPCA is the Democratic Party Committee Abroad, excuse me, also known as DA. And we were meant to vote on a DNC rep to fill our current chair's position. And we did that when we voted in Julia Bryan, former chair of Democrats Abroad Global. In addition, we were meant to vote on about 23 resolutions. Unfortunately, times being what they are, we did not get to those. So that will be announced within the next, oh, about 75 days now, when that will be. And then we'll go ahead and hopefully be able to condense some of those resolutions. I'll be putting more information out. All of that information is archived on the wiki space. If you go to our wiki and type in resolutions 2023. Next slide, Terry. I have been stumping hard in Wisconsin, and as you may know, Milwaukee held the GOP debate. It was scary, it was hairy, but what was really exciting was all of the Democrats who came to play in places from Wisconsin I didn't even know had Democrats. And I got to meet Jamie Harrison at one of those meetings. It was really exciting. I have behind me a whole bunch of swag that and merchandise I hope to get to DA China soon. If you're coming to China, or if you're coming to the States, let me know and I will get you some to take with you to distribute out to other DA China members. Some of it is quite heavy. It's giant posters and yard signs and things like that. Fits better in a suitcase than the mail for sure. Next slide, Terry. And we also had our September 11th memorial event. This is the third event hosted by DA China. It went over well, as always. We shall never forget. And I just want to take this moment to highlight all of DA China's service people, past and present, including our very own Josh. Thank you for your service, and thank you for helping out with the call. And with that, Terry, next slide, I will turn it over to Josh, if available. If
Yes.
you, okay, go ahead.
Wait, what am I supposed to be doing?
Sorry. So we decided before this that we're going to wait on minutes. But if you go to the wiki page in front of you, you can find a repository of meeting minutes. And we're going to hold off on voting on the past two meetings until October. And then we're going to motion and vote on them at that point in time. And then, Josh, did you want to talk about, next slide, Terry, your sort of student and study abroad? What you're kind of doing over
Ah,
there?
yes. You turned it over to me, and I was like, oh God, I have not been listening. I just went through airport security, and I'm a little bit, the only thing that's coming to mind is Zalawan. Chaos, chaotic right now. I've like barely slept in the last 3 days, and I'm in a very small place in China right now. Okay, so here's what we're going to be doing for BLCU. So I'm currently a student at Beijing Foreign Language, I'm sorry, Beijing Language and Culture University, which is a university that's quite well known for their teaching of Chinese and Russian and Japanese. Also, can everybody hear me? Okay, great. There's quite a few Americans there. I already talked to an American from Seattle, and he said he would be more than happy to volunteer. And so what we're going to do is just set up a table on the way for people to go to lunch on 2 or 3 days. And on those days, the university is just going to let us have like a little place for where all the students go to eat. And we're just going to register people to vote. I'm going to keep the event nonpartisan because I think it's best for a university for things to stay nonpartisan. So that way, people are, if anybody asks any questions, if we help Americans vote, that's all. No comment on why that's good or anything like that. And then if we meet anybody who's interested in Democrats, then I'll probably have a little bit of a brochure or something that I'll print out to give to them. But I think that it's kind of, I don't know, I really want to stay nonpartisan on a college campus and on a public event. And then that was pretty much the only thing that that I had for that. The person who runs the international students said that as long as we weren't endorsing anything or had anything like on our table that was you know that could cause an issue, then he said everything was fine for it. So that's about it.
That's fantastic. And we absolutely do vote for abroad events like that all the time. You were part of Voter Assistance One on Sunday. I will go over the next part after this call. But it's totally fine to do that. And if you need any materials, Terry and Dustin and Kevin have materials in Beijing. And so that's envelopes, security envelopes for voting as well, and a few vote from abroad cards. And Democrats abroad items as well. So whatever you need, we can figure out how to, ways to get them to you. And then if there is any postage involved, we'll do the same thing for Harlan and Geneva down in Guangzhou. We will work on a reimbursement form to our account. Make sure that all adds up. Thanks, Josh. That sounds great. All right, Terry, you can go ahead, and we're going to turn the floor over. And next slide to Trisha.
Okay. The volunteer slide list.
Oh, and go ahead, Terry. Next slide.
Okay. We do need volunteers, so you know, definitely go back and check that one out. A quiet month in the Treasury, per usual. We had our $5 monthly contribution, no expenditures. So we currently have about $120.29 US in our account. Yep. Next slide, Terry. Thank you. So this is the dashboard. It's a relatively new format from what I understand. So everyone can kind of see here our 2022 numbers and then thus far in 2023. We've raised $40 in monthly contributions and we've spent about $53, which was a donation to Global. And these are US dollars, right? Yeah, US. And that donation was based upon, was it in July that it was decided that, yeah, I wasn't on that meeting, I was traveling, but a motion was passed in July that we would donate about a third of our account to the global global account. So that is what that 5288 represents. Yeah, that's been about it. Still trying to wrap my head around and will continue to be wrapping my head around the FEA and changes in compliance rules and what we can spend money on, what we can't, how we can raise money, where we keep it. It's an evolving situation, I think. So yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, next slide, Terry. And on that note, I attended the first FEC Compliance Committee call of this new term on the 13th. And I'm also going to be on a subcommittee. We're working on a survey now, going over old data we collected in 2022 and trying to figure out solutions for country committees like ours. For those of you who don't know, 2022 internal rules changed, which meant that DA China could no longer fundraise on the ground using WeChat, which is our main source of revenue. So we had to direct all funds to our website. And that's kind of why that number is so low. We had to spend down all of our funds, and then we also had to start slowly growing. So we're hoping we can get more sustaining donors, or just even more one-time donors here or there. If you like what you see, buy us a cup of coffee. About $5 will get us there. And that pays for our Zoom Pro account, our Canva Pro account. It pays for Nation Builder, which is our database and our website, our wiki. It pays for all of those voting envelopes and materials and all of those things that help voters successfully return their ballots, which is what this is all about. So let us know if you can do that and just spread the word in general. Even if you can't, we know that your time is also valuable and we appreciate you being here today. Thank you. Next slide, Terry. Now, Elise is our communications director, and she couldn't be here today, but we did want to let you know that, good comms creates a lot of voters. So there's Ollie, our furry friend, who unfortunately has relocated back to Texas. We are looking for a new animal to represent the org. If you have any submissions of your own, please go ahead and do that. We do need some content created for WeChat groups and moments and our social media. Looking for some great copy for our newsletters and more for our photos. And building out our comms team, we do have a group chat. Next slide, Terry. And you can kind of do almost whatever you want with these. Take a fun song. And this was one of our more popular GOTV from last year. Kind of the song got in everybody's head, and then they did remember to go and submit their votes. And afterwards, they thanked me for that and said, geez, I can't get that song out of my head. So if you have a good song like that and you can do something like this, we'd love to have you help out our comms team. All right, next slide, Terry. As I mentioned, September 19th is Voter Registration Day, National Voter Registration Day in America. So while we have ours abroad as January 15th, everybody here is celebrating today. So let's go over some of these key elections in 2023. You'll notice that big number at the bottom. Over 40 states have key local elections, from city councils to school boards, to ballot measures, district attorneys, and judges. And we know where these people end up. They start at the bottom and they filter through the system until, they're deciding the Kyle Rittenhouse case, or perhaps, the Trump indictments, and they're on a panel of this or that, or the sole judge in a case. These are bigger than we ever really imagined that they could be. I think we've really come to see things full circle. So please take some of these, highlight them, put them in your moments, talk to people about voting. Next slide, Terry, and register to vote. I'm going to go through a few slides and crunch some numbers before we get to event planning. And if you'd like to, if you haven't registered yet in 2023, or you just want to practice before a voter registration call, scan that and go to Vote From Abroad right now and register and request your 2023 ballot. It's a great way to get started before ballots drop on Sunday already. And next slide, Terry. All right, so these are some YoCava voting statistics from the federal government, and I wanted to go over this. Is First slide is the process for YoCava voting, which some of you know, some of you are kind of newer to. And that first step right away is using the FPCA, that Federal Postcard Application. That is all digital, takes less than 5 minutes using Vote From Abroad. And that transfers in ours on the bottom electronically straight to your local election official, what we like to call the Leo. And you'll get a nice email receipt back, which is always fantastic. And you can request that your ballot, when you fill out that FPCA, come to you by email also. So on September 24th, that should drop right to you. If it hasn't come on September 25th, you might want to nudge your local election official and say, hey, I haven't gotten my ballot yet. Or even start to fill out that FWAB. And we'll talk about that in a second too. That is a backup ballot, is what we call it. And the federal write-in ballot can also be used for state elections in most states. And then at the bottom, it says, your ballot is counted or your ballot is rejected. And next slide, we're going to talk about a few of these ballot transmission numbers, what they mean. And you can see right now on your screen, like the high. Oh, Terry, could you just change the next slide, please? You can kind of see where transmissions were the highest according to states. Some are no surprises, right? California, New York, we have a lot of voters. Now, YoCava stands for Uniformed and Overseas Citizens, right? This is the Voting Rights Act that allows us all to vote. So this is the high number of ballot returns, 50,000 plus. We do have a bunch of states here with no data. We actually have returned ballots using Vote From Abroad to every single state on here. So it's very exciting. And next slide, Terry. All right, now, of course, being from Wisconsin, I did pull out the Wisconsin number out of this raw data. If you want to see this large, just take two fingers on your screen and you can pinch it out and enlarge your screen. to see how many uniformed citizens versus overseas citizens, general citizenry, like most of our DA China members, actually returned their ballots. And so let's see. So it does say 24 states transmitted more to citizens who are service members than to overseas citizens, but we are working on these numbers, and the more people we register, the bigger those margins become. And this was 2022 data, by the way. Is that clear for everybody? Can you see it? I can also share the link if you'd like.
Wait, sorry. Can you, I'm just trying to process this. So the dark blue is overseas citizens, like I think most of us are. And then the light blue is military. Is that it?
That's correct. Yep, that's correct. And in China, we don't have a military presence. So all of our numbers, if we were to flip this and not go state by state, but like CC by a country committee by country committee, that would all be in the dark blue. And we want to increase that margin.
I
But
see.
just
Okay.
to kind of give you an indication of where we can do the most work. And it might be your state. Yeah. All right, next slide, Terry. And I did put the Canva link if anybody wants to go ahead and take a look at that. That is shared if you want to follow along that way, if it's easier to view. All right, so that next slide shows the rejection rates, and that also varied significantly across states. Now, this is quite interesting, and Terry, I think you zoomed in a little bit. Because it can be more than 5.7%. And now we're going to go over why that is. Why do we have those ballot rejections? And honestly, in a few states, I think it was a little bit more. You do see that no data on the screen. Next slide, Terry. All right. So we've got all overseas voters in the first column. Then we've got total and percentage of uniformed service members, and then total percentage of overseas citizens. And these are big numbers, but they should be a lot bigger, right? We know that we have about 70,000 Americans abroad in China alone, right? So we've got about 740,000 Yuukava voters divided, skewing towards overseas citizens, and this means they're registered. This means they did the vote from abroad or another website, ffat.gov. They registered at home and then voted abroad. They're on the voter rolls already. All right, next slide, Terry. And then here's where we come into FPCA's receive. So every year, this is just for 2022, this is how many the federal government received. And it does kind of ebb and flow. We know 2022 was a tough year for many of us, especially in our country committee. And you can see a few of the states and you know where they were receiving and where they weren't. And so we've got, about under 250,000 overseas citizens returning ballots. We definitely have a chunk that we will be committing in 2023 and 2024. We'll see those numbers spike as well. Next slide, Terry.
Sorry to interrupt real quick,
Go
Liz,
ahead.
but when it says uncategorized, I mean, like, so it's like they haven't selected whether they're military or overseas, or what does that mean?
Well, I think it's actually, and I did delete the footnotes, but I think it's actually maybe part of the ballot rejection or FPCA rejection part where they maybe didn't list it properly, but they received an FPCA, so they might have counted it and then put it there. And then later they go over the rejected FPCAs and the rejected ballots. So I wasn't quite sure about that one either. And I will go ahead and look at those footnotes. That's a great
I
question.
was just curious.
Yeah, there's a couple of little things that don't add up, and mostly it boils down to one of three things, and
No
one
problem.
of them is if they voted at all, if they filled out that first FPCA form correctly, if they filled out their ballot correctly, and then if they got it back on time.
Okay.
So here you can kind of see how many ballots were transmitted, which is quite different from the previous slides of how many FPCAs, how many registered voters there were. So let's see if we look at Wisconsin, 6,000, Washington, 108,000. Terry, if you actually go back a slide, possible. You can see Washington, FPCA's recent. Oh, I'm sorry if this is counting. Never mind. Go for it, Terry. I messed that one up in my head. But the numbers are very different, and the numbers of FPCAs versus actual ballots returned, it sometimes ends up being like a third. And sometimes the numbers look a little higher than they are because people don't re-register to vote every year, and some states keep you on their voter rolls. But lately we're finding, even in California, we found out last year that people aren't necessarily getting their ballots if they didn't re-register like they always did. So that's varying county by county, precinct by precinct. But we do want to look out for how that rejection rate. So you can see in Utah, 13.8% of returned ballots were rejected. Wisconsin, 8.9%, and they're also under threat legislatively. So those are numbers that we're watching. Next slide, Terry. All right. And then we've got FWABs rejected. So again, this is the federal write-in absentee ballot. We also call it the backup ballot. If you don't get a ballot, or you're not going to have enough time in the turnaround from your primary to your general to get that to get your ballot sent, you fill this out. This is what I had to do in Wisconsin. We had a primary this year in 2023 in February, and we didn't have 45 days until our March, or sorry, our April 4th election. And we were voting on a state Supreme Court justice. It was a really big deal. And so not having those 45 days, as you would call a voter from China, is a really big deal because we don't have enough time in a postal mail state like Wisconsin to get our ballots back. And as Terry's, oh, that's okay, you can go forward. The most common reason for these rejections, they're received after the deadline. So from your FWAB to your ballot, all the way back to your FPCA, most commonly it's rejected because it wasn't received on time. And that's why today's meeting, getting everybody registered, getting everybody, at an event, hosting something online or in person is so important, because we have basically 5 days to get our mail-in ballots back, or people have to use courier services in China. Our turnaround is so tight because of this holiday. All right, Terry, go ahead. Okay, and so these are some of our mail-in voting states, and you can recognize the ones with larger elections this year that we're worried about, like Kentucky is a mail-in voting state. So we have to make sure we've already dealt with part of our Ohio ballot. So we have to make sure. Josh shaking his head.
Voting was so hard. I voted voted I didn't even vote in 2022. I feel really bad. I voted in 2020, and then 2022 I got my ballot, and then I had it like set to ship. I sent it to the handler, and then the handler was like, "Oh, there's a problem." I got it back, and then I never sent it after I got it back. And I'm like an extremely motivated voter, and I mean, obviously I'm not that extremely motivated if I did that, but it was just like it was like I'm a very motivated voter, and it's just it's always a hassle. It has to get folded a certain way. You have to put it in the envelope the right way, and if you don't do any of those steps, it gets rejected. It is absolutely obscene.
And what
So,
state you
and
live in?
but Kentucky this is what the reason why Mitch McConnell is still in office is like they go out of their way to make sure that it is difficult for you to vote. So.
Yeah. So Josh, what we need to do to get you to voting is you're already registered to vote for 2023. You requested your ballot be emailed, firstly. I'm going to need a yes or no.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I put
That's
myself on mute because it's loud here. But yes,
okay.
I have it in. I've already got the confirmation email from Susan Lamb, and this time I gave her a call.
Fantastic.
Was like, "Hey, I need to make sure that you're going to be sending me this, and everything's going to go fine." She assured me it would.
Wonderful. Okay. And then so you should be emailed on the 24th. 25th is actually Monday, so just in case. And then do you have an envelope and a security envelope and all that stuff you need? Otherwise, we have people in Beijing and other places to get those to you. So let's try to do that this week, because you also need it for your voter registration event.
What is this
Are
security
you going to
envelope?
use? Well, so, and maybe it's different for Kentucky. I would have to check on Vote From Abroad and through our resources, but I know for Wisconsin and many other states, Texas, we have a security envelope that we put our ballot in, and then that security envelope goes inside a ballot or another envelope from FWAB, and then we send that back. Now, it
I
is
feel
different
like
for each state, so we can look it up. Go ahead.
this is my two cents. I feel like if Josh knows that he's from one of those states where you have to fold it a particular way, he maybe they don't have a security envelope because I feel like that would be on his radar if he's aware
It's
that he has
true.
to. I don't know. It's
Yeah, they
true.
don't have they have something that you have to print and put on the front of the envelope. And
That's the
then when
special
it
envelope. Yeah.
okay. But you can't get the envelope via email. So
Correct. So
you
that's
print
through FBAP,
it
and I'm going to grab that
okay.
from you right now. So, for those of you who don't know, we do have on our wiki, if you didn't scan it earlier, I'll pop this into the chat box, a page just for GOTV information, and it links up with stuff that we've done and a lot of stuff that's from the Voter Help Desk and Vote From Abroad as well. So, everything on the wiki is somewhere here, and this is a really good resource to use if you need to. If we're missing anything, let me know. We have a couple people updating it. And then, if you look down the side, you can figure out the some envelopes questions as well as the email to fax information. And that's the FFAP.gov that has the envelope. So we already have hundreds of those printed, and they're in all kinds of states all over China. And so we'd like to take the stuff that we do have printed and get that to you if we can. And then we also have hundreds of security envelopes, and we'd like to get those to you if you need them and you can. Now, not everybody's going to use the consulate. Not everybody's going to use snail mail. Josh, maybe you're okay with paying for a courier service, but if we can get you to get that in this week and save you a few bucks, or maybe have it free by sending it through the consulate, we want to do that for you. So we'll go ahead, Geneva.
So, you've been in China for a little while, longer than me, longer than my few weeks. I'm just curious because China's huge. How many consulates are there? And how, I mean, do you have an idea of how many Americans live close to a consulate? Or, like, are there lots that are way far away that can't use the diplomatic pouch or?
There are, yeah. So unfortunately, well, we have major mega cities, right? So we've got Guangzhou, Beijing, and Shanghai, and those are three main consulates, and that's where like the centralization of most citizens actually are. We are very spread out. China's bigger than even America. We used to have Wuhan and Shenyang as and even Chengdu as consulates we could use, and we no longer can. So people do try to find ways to get even from Shenzhen to Guangzhou, and if we can have those voters table set up, that's great. 13 factories. We'll talk about that later in a few places that are near to the consulate, but they've got that nice little speed train. It takes about a half hour to get there, and they've got a bunch of teachers and other people who kind of come together. To get their ballots in when they're at the same workplace or school. But it is quite difficult. So most people will have to use snail mail or courier their ballot. And at the tune of 50 to 60 US dollars, most people don't want to courier their ballot. And that's why the next week is so very important. As soon as those ballots drop, to say, hey, really hit people over the head. We know you're not going to spend this money, and we know you're going to be really upset if an election doesn't turn out your way. And we also know that these margins are so tight in every election. So that's where we're at. Yeah, I spent $53 to $63 on every Wisconsin election since I've been in China. If I have to use a courier service, and using the consulate's a much better option. But
Yeah, that
again,
was what I spent. That was what I spent to get mine in 2020. So you did say we can send it by courier in Beijing. They do that? Okay. Or I'm sorry, not by courier. I know they do that. The by consulate.
By the consulate. So yeah, so you can take your envelopes once you have it all folded, signed, stamped. If you need a signature, you get your signature of a witness. I know I have to do that. I don't know if you have to do that in Kentucky. And yeah. And then
Yeah,
you
last
take it to the
time what I
consulate,
did.
you bring your passport with you. Did you do that last time?
No, last time what I did was I mailed it to my mom because you can't, you also have, you, if you send it in the courier package and it gets there, they might reject it for it not being in the right envelope.
Okay,
Because it's
so
not
when you
domestic
send it,
mail.
I always
they
used to
are.
put it in the right envelope and then put the envelope inside the courier package, and that always worked for me.
So I've done it both ways. I've done it both ways where, Trisha, could you let Terry inform, please? Where I put it on the external courier envelope and then I put it on the ballot inside. My people know me, they kind of know what to expect. So they see the courier envelope, they open it, and they do their thing. Now, each state has those ballot instructions. As soon as you get your ballot, like you said, they've got folding instructions, envelope instructions, it's all right there. And
It's like
happy to go through that with
11
you.
steps.
It's so many pages sometimes. Texas had 28 pages of instructions last year. We were just like, phew, we had a whole bunch of Texas voters come to that table on that day in front of you, actually. So that was pretty
York used
intense.
to email an envelope form that you were supposed to print out and fold like freaking origami. So, needless to say, that official envelope was not the real outer envelope that was going inside. An envelope that you can actually send.
Absolutely. And actually, we have a great video on YouTube as to how to fold the New York ballot. If you and Josh, you also for Kentucky decide that you want to film yourself, like following the instructions and folding it the right way, and we can share that with other people. Even if we don't want to put it on YouTube or social media, we could share it, internally within our group chats, and that's going to help voters. It really does. I mean, I have sent that how to fold for New York video like over 150 times at least. So, voters are paying attention. They get there and they're not paying attention till they get it. Then they get it in front of them. They're like, oh, this again, or oh, this for the first time because people are just coming back or what have you. But we do want to try to get you to not mail that to your mom. You are supposed to directly mail it to your local election office. But yeah, so for all of those reasons, all of those stats, the rejection reasons, this is why it's so important that we have in-person and online voter assistance. We have had a bunch of events. I was just about to say next slide, Terry, and then where we do the work together, and we want to make sure if you're sending out a ballot, you take a selfie. So there's Howard from Beijing sending his ballot back. We've got members from Shanghai helping me witness my ballot as well as get out their ballots all the way back to, you can see that Beto voter from Texas. Now, that little sign I'm holding up, sometimes that's all you need is a QR code. And so that little sign, we can get everybody a copy of to print if you don't have it already. The red is vote from abroad to register. The blue is Democrats abroad to join, and the green is Democrats abroad to donate. I do tend to take that out to places where I can be a little bit more partisan if I have to be. Otherwise, I just have the vote from abroad information on hand. So the next thing that we're going to talk about is so we can have all these events is getting trained. We have a ton of voter registration training coming up to do all of the things. And this is today's. If you have not scanned an RSVP for the meeting that's happening in a little bit, please scan and do so now. Now, the reason we have you go through the website is to save us a little legwork. A, we don't want to get Zoom bombed. And B, we want to make sure that, like Josh, our secretary, or anyone else who's administrating the database, they have to take attendees and plug them in by hand manually. And that takes a long time. Nation Builder is not the most user-friendly thing. So if you log in to Democrats Abroad and you RSVP to an event, that does it for them. So they don't have to type in, 10 to 15 data fields that may sometimes fail given the state of our current website. All right. Next, so many of you know we do phone banking, and I decided we're going to call it friend banking from now on because it is pretty friendly. That's how Geneva and I first met, as we said at the outset of this call. And when you get someone like Adam, look at that guy right there on the phone with you. What's not to love? You want to take that call, and my screen is sharing, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. So scan that if you want to do call hub training. And voter assistance two is the first part of that. If you scan that link, you'll also get some of our new branching scripts and some information that's all on the website. So you can do it on the website, or you can call into a training, or you can set up a one-on-one with me. I'm trained to train. I'm happy to help you out. What we're doing in China is a little bit different this year, something we started last year. We are using our personal phones to call and text, and we are also using WeChat to connect with voters. So I've contacted about 150. I'm a little behind. I meant to be at 200 by now, DA China members. And now I've got to enter all that data in the database. If you'd like to help me out, that's Kentucky, that's Louisiana, that's New Jersey, that's everybody with an election in 2023. We are doing it off of Call Hub because we found that those texts and phone calls weren't going through. They were perhaps being blocked. And we're working with Global on a workaround. But honestly, this is great because then we can connect directly through WeChat. And it's pretty convenient because everybody uses WeChat. So scan that, get started. Let me know if you'd like to help out. I've been doing lunch hours. Go ahead.
I would love to help you enter data. If you said great. That you have kind of backed up, I would totally sit here and enter data for you.
Okay, so we'll talk Nation Builder stuff after this because we are only allowed to have 4 people on it right now, and those slots are actually full. So I'm not sure if you've got database entry from anything else. But we'll revert back to that after this meeting. Yeah, that's the hard part. It's the Nation Builder. Thank you, though. We really appreciate that offer. That's amazing. All right. If you don't like making phone calls or texting, you can email. So if you don't like to be face-to-face with someone, or you'd like to just GOTV on your own time, we get hundreds of emails and probably thousands before 2024 that come and say, hey, I have a question with us, or, oh, vote for Murad didn't work for me, or more importantly, I have a question about this. My Leo said this. What's going on here? And we need to get voter protection involved. So these are simple emails. We do our regular voter assistance blurbs, how to vote, how to get you here or there. These also connect with state teams and the Vote From Abroad volunteers as well. But it's important that we have people dedicated to DA China so we can plug them in and help them out as they need to be helped. And then very often people will be on Vote From Abroad, registered to vote, and then they'll contact us through this help at Vote From Abroad email to say, hey, they want to volunteer, and we just need to be on top of that and following up ourselves. So the goal is to have about 15 people trained to do this and doing this by February of next year, if not sooner. Again, a lot of people don't like to be forward facing or like to do it in their own time. This is for you. It's fantastic. And if you don't know an answer, that's fine. You just shoot it up the ladder and someone else will take over. Okay, and then we're gonna have Zoom Room voter assistance. So like me, I can't be live at an event this week or next week. So I'm gonna be on these Zoom rooms offering assistance for people to call in during their lunch hours or after work or whenever they can. And if you would like to help out with that too, I'd love to have your help. I'll be working with someone in Australia. I think many of you remember Carmel Ann. She did this with me last year and hopefully a few members as well, including Linda, who's doing our trainings. All right, let's get to the meat of events now. So these are kind of our goals for the rest of the year. We want to support events, post some actions, ballot drop day Sunday, and connect with voters as many as we can before the holiday and then again after the holiday. And then we want to think ahead to November as well. So we'll be doing voter assistance September, October, right up until the 7th. Which is election day. If anybody would like to host this year's watch party, I know Terry is generally our man of that hour. We'd love to have you help out with that. We kind of support it for the region and other people call in from around the globe to join us as well. And then we'll do membership verification at the latter half of November and through December. So we can all get our business done before January when voter registration begins and also some early primaries. Now let's talk GOTV. I'm so glad everybody's here. I want to recognize that Geneva and Harlan have been on the call a long time. So let's talk Guangzhou and what we can do to get your events supported.
So Liz, how many DA members you have in China, and then how many do you have in each region, and what are the regions? Do you have regions?
Yeah, absolutely. So we don't have chapters. That was kind of hypothesized, thought about, and everyone kind of organized on WeChat instead. WeChat is an amazing organizational tool for us. And so we've got group chats that are dedicated to six main regions, one of them being Guangzhou. And so the numbers are in flux right now because we had a very hard 2022. A lot of us were locked inside of our homes for most of it. And then subsequently, we've had some exodus or people locked out. So this is the other reason why contacting members is so important. Well, no, so we're actually not sure. Yeah, so it's somewhere between like 2,800 and 3,800 members. And okay. So we really want to make sure we ramp up how many people we're connecting with via email, phone call, text, WeChat, all of those things. Okay. And then we're also hearing back from people that they moved on, but they want to be on our alumni group, which is pretty neat. I don't know if you guys have been doing that in the UAE, but our turnover is a little higher. So having people who maybe move back to the States but want to give like an hour to every other week is really helpful. And Terry, you can stop the share for a little bit if you'd like. Cool. So for Guangzhou, now I know of at least one American owned and operated business, and that's 13 Factories. And Justin is our American on the ground who owns that restaurant. He's so nice. I was able to host an event there in 2021 in October, but that was the last event that Guangzhou's been able to have because of everything going on. And it's really unfortunate. So I'm so excited that you're both on this call. Harlan, you've been there a number of years, I think, right?
Yeah. And I know Justin, he's a great guy. And a lot of people kind of know 13 Factories. And as you said, it's a couple of steps away from the consulate. And it's also a very good centrally located restaurant. So it's good for people all over town.
Yeah.
And it's got great food.
And Geneva, I think if you get a chance to get over there, if you have any downtime, you and Harlan can take on some of their board games. They had a pretty good selection the last time I visited. So okay. That was kind of fun.
Still do.
Yeah.
Geneva, where are you in Guangzhou?
I'm in Liwan.
Okay, Liwan. So you're not relatively speaking too far.
Yeah, you must be talking about Tianhe.
Well, it's Zhujian New Town, and it's Zhujian New Town station, exit B1, okay. I think.
Okay. I'm happy to go wherever.
Okay, I'm in Tianhe though, so.
And then we've got you guys linked up on WeChat.
Yeah.
And did you have any dates that jumped out of you? Now I know that we're going to have to jump on the next call. The time kind of escaped from me, but let's figure out.
I'm going to have to. So this coming weekend would be nice, but that may be too soon. But I think the weekend after would not be bad.
Are we talking about just you and me having a little?
But it's kind of just.
Or are we talking about like inviting other people or?
I would say probably if you and I could meet, that would be great before then. But for a lot more people in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then maybe. So it would be soon enough that people could get their ballot to the consulate.
Right. Okay. Then maybe you and I could chat offline and try and like pinpoint a time and a place or something.
Right.
I will try to respond to you faster than I have been.
Yeah,
that would be great. Good. And thanks. If we can post those in the group chat boxes, even just saying that you're getting a meeting together or you're going to be here for an hour, even if you go to a Starbucks or something and it's just purely BFA, that's fine. We just need to know where you're at, what you're doing in that chat box, because people will show up and people are interested and they'll at least text to say, hey, I returned my ballot. And that's really what we want to see. Thank you so much. And then Josh, you also had an event and we're going to help Pam out so she doesn't have to frantically do this and that. If anybody wants to host an event, fill out the events form or text us directly. Go ahead, Harlan. I'm sorry.
Just, I tell you, if we could get some of those security envelopes.
Let's do that.
That would be very, okay.
Okay.
I sent you a message on
WeChat. Perfect. Yep, because everybody on this call, I think other than Pam has and Josh, have a ton of those envelopes, security envelopes and FFAP envelopes and some actually other size envelopes even. So we can definitely do that. We also have some merchandise and things like that. And if you're in your shakedown, just tell and Josh, that would be amazing. And as you know, the local is usually the place, the go-to place to do that. Again, that's because in-kind donations that's an FEC rule, if you will. So we do try to go to American-owned places. It's not just because of the situation in our host country, which is a little bit tricky. So let's do that. And again, so what I do for voter assistance, what I did last year, was I picked myself off the ground and I crunched all the way over. And every single day I got out and I went to Pistolera and I listened to fun Mexican music during Hispanic Heritage Month. And I just sat there with envelopes. It's a couple blocks from the consulate and people came. And I had a lot of downtime, but I wasn't doing anything else, or I'd get some work done while I was. And it turned out to be okay. And sometimes you'll even get free food or drinks out of it. So highly recommend it. There's a lot of nice people out there. And we'll switch over to the other call now, unless you had other questions. I'm going to adjourn the meeting if I don't hear any objections.
Yeah, I'm ready to go ahead. Let me just tell you real quickly that I was having trouble requesting the ballot, and I did use just before the meeting, I used the online website to request a ballot. So, and that was pretty
convenient.
We were
talking about that because you're an Ohio voter. Right. And so,
and it was trying to follow the instructions was a nightmare, but I used the form and hopefully I'll get it. And on the website from the state of Ohio, they didn't say anything about sending an electronic ballot. Mail one to me and then email it back it's crazy. But on the website, it said that it did mention something about an electronic ballot. Actually, I'm not sure what's going on. But
so I think did, what happened is
I
when
did
you do
send
the FCCA
in a ballot request
through Vote From Abroad or FFAP. Sorry, that's where the confusion is. If you use
Vote From Abroad,
yeah, you can select that you want it emailed to you. And so I think that the other paperwork maybe isn't caught up with the Ohio Secretary of State office or your local election official. That might not just be in sync, but you have the right. You can get that emailed to you. And so if there's any issues with that,
I could say some things about the Secretary of State, but I won't.
I know. Trisha is a former Ohioan as well. And we'll get you on that group chat. We're talking with David Pepper. We're going to have him on very soon as well. But
he's
let's switch
fabulous.
Over to he
really
is.
Good.
And he's talked to us several times. So I'm really excited to host him.
Good.
I'm going to switch over to the next call then.
Thanks, Harlan. We'll see you soon. Call?
Okay, bye-bye.
That's good. Yep. And if you look in the chat box.
Yes.
And we'll get you up for voter assistance soon. If you saw in the chat box, please, everybody, feel free to switch over. I'm going to go ahead and end this recording, and we'll put extra minutes and notes on the wiki after this call. Thank you so much, everyone.